So this was a short Torah portion, but it packed a punch, kind of like me. I can't take out Brother Jesse yet, but I'm getting there. So watch out. I had some guys on a boat last week, and they were drinking. And one of them, you know, they asked me, "Do you want a beer, Herman, Captain Herman?" I'm like, "Nah, I don't want a beer." And a little later on in the day, they asked me again, and I said, "Nah, I don't want a beer. I don't drink." And they said, "You don't drink?" I said, "No, I'm allergic to beer." And they're like, "You're allergic to beer?" I said, "Yeah. It seemed like every time I drink, I'd break out with a bad case of handcuffs, so I don't drink anymore." And they thought I was joking, but I was serious. So I had to hang that up. But anyway, it opened up a door to share my testimony with them, so it was good. All right, there's a few things that I want to point out in the book of Joshua. And, you know, he emphasized a few things in there. And one of them is we're familiar with, be strong and courageous. And, you know, I asked myself this question, well, why? Why be strong and courageous? Well, number one, Joshua was dealing with the death of Moses. So more than likely, he was emotional. You know, he spent a lot of years with Moses under his tutelage. And also, he knew that he was going to be taking on kings. And not only that, but he had a people to lead. And I noticed in a story that Yahweh didn't start off slow with Joshua. He didn't say, you know, go over to the Jordan River and kind of camp out there. And, you know, just stay there for a while. Because I know at some point there's some issues you're going to have to deal with the people. So that way you can get used to dealing with these issues, you know, before you go and conquer the land. He didn't do that, you know. But with us, so Joshua didn't have any dress rehearsal. He had to go right in and cross the Jordan. But I noticed something with us. Yahweh gives us plenty time for dress rehearsal. Plenty time, plenty years. And that's what we're doing now, celebrating these feasts. This is a dress rehearsal. And I call it a better covenant, is what I call it. It's a better covenant because he's given us time for these dress rehearsals so we can get it. Because if it was up to him, none of us would perish. He also emphasized something else here that was very important, and it's in Joshua verses 7 and 8 in the Torah portion. We'll take a look at it. He says, only be strong and very courageous. And he says this, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful, again, be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So he's telling us to be careful to follow his laws and his commands. And the reason why we want to do that, because if we do, we're protected by the Father. He protects us. And Joshua knew that he needed God's protection and leadership. So he emphasized, be careful that you do this, because you need me. You need me. Without me, you're not going to make it. And we all know without God, we're not going to make it. We need him, because he's the eternal Father, and that's what our goal is, to spend eternity with the Father. The reason why he needed the protection is because he was going into this land to conquer it, and he knew it. He knew without the Father, again, he knew that he couldn't do it without the Father. And it's the same thing whenever it comes to our inheritance. You know, we need the Father's leadership and guidance. We need his Spirit to help us. All right, there's one more thing here. So we're not done here yet. There's one more thing that I want to point out. And this is the most important thing of the three. And it's Deuteronomy 34:9. And he says, Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the Spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands on him. So Joshua was filled with the Spirit of wisdom. Now there's a reason why Joshua was filled with the Spirit of wisdom. And it may not be the reason why you think it is. Okay? But I'm going to use this story to help illustrate this. You remember whenever Yahweh spoke to Samuel and he told him to go and summon Jesse and his sons, because one of Jesse's sons was going to be anointed as king. So Samuel did. He got Jesse and his sons there, and he looked at them, and the Lord told him, "This is not them. There's one more." So he asked Jesse, "Do you have one more? Do you have another son?" And he says, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Well, where is he?" He said, "He's tending the sheep. He's tending the sheep." So they go out and they get him. They get David. All right, was David there? David was tending the sheep. He was there. Now here's the key. David came and he was anointed king. You know why he was anointed king? Because he was where God told him to be. He was where God told him to be. You know why Joshua had the Spirit of wisdom come on him? Because he was where he was supposed to be. He could have run out and said, "You know something? I'm tired of dealing. I'm tired of Moses telling me what to do. I'm finding me another clan to go to." But he didn't. But we have people in the church world today, whenever they get upset, they either go look for another church to go to. But let me tell you, the Spirit of wisdom, the anointing, will never be on their life until they get where God wants them to be. So that's why Joshua had the Spirit of wisdom on him. That's why David was anointed king, because they were where God told them to be. So Joshua stood in the spot that Yahweh had appointed to him. He stood there regardless. He stood there. So when the Spirit comes, I remember Pastor mentioning this, I don't know if it was last service or the service before that, you know, how he's praying and he feels like God's going to pour out anointing on us. You know, and And the first thing I thought, because this is my habit now, is I'm going to find this in the Scripture. Well, you know, sometimes we won't find stuff like that in the Scripture. But you know something? I trust my pastor. I trust him. I trust what he says, because I know that he seeks God. And this is something that used to bother me, is I don't have half the wisdom and knowledge that he has and understanding of the Scripture. But you know something? That's not my position. I'm not a pastor. He's a pastor. And he goes before the people, just like Moses did. The same thing. Moses went before the people, and he spoke on behalf of the people, and that's what pastor's job is. So I trust him, and I know that's what's happened, that God's wanting to pour anointing on us, and that's why I thought it was important to share this with y'all. And this was something that really stuck out, and initially I didn't even have it in there, but it came to mind while I was putting it together. All right, we need the Spirit operating in our life, and we need the anointing in our life. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And this is the reason why we need it. Okay? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the sin of perdition, who's the anti-Messiah. But anyway, there comes a falling away first. All right? And it sure seems like we're there now, where people are falling away. And one of the versions is called apostasy. So there's a falling away of people, and we're experiencing it here. And it's not just us. I mean, it's happening all over where folks are just falling away. And there's reasons why they're doing it. It says in Matthew 24:12, this is just some of the reasons why. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So because of all of the stuff that's happening in the world, you know, there's so much stuff I don't even know where to start at. But because of all of the stuff, you know, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, you know, it could be I don't know, stuff with the NFL, which is crazy. It's a game they're talking about. It's a football game. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on, and people's going to see that, and they're going to focus on that, and they're going to fall away. It's going to discourage them. 1 Timothy 4. One through three. Well, I was there. There it is. Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which Elohim hath created to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So this is some more reasons why this will happen. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now that sounds really familiar right there. I mean, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So we're going through a test right now. And here's the thing. If we don't pass it now, we're going to have to pass it later. We want to be protected from what's to come, and we can be. The scripture tells us that we can be. It says in Revelation 3:10, "Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing. That hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." So if we can't make it now, I don't know if we can make it then. You know, I watched a video of this lady who was in the Holocaust. She survived the Holocaust. And, you know, I heard stories of people getting on these trains and taking off and to get gassed. Well, I'm thinking they got gassed on the train. I didn't know. Anyway, they take them to these camps. And so this is this lady telling the story. They went into their house, I'm assuming, and got the whole family. So it was a man, a woman, a set of twins, and a boy. So they put them on a train, and there's families. Everybody's on the train. And they go, and, you know, maybe you've heard the story of the Holocaust. I did. You know, I never looked back in history and researched it or anything. So this was kind of shocking to me, and because I heard this lady's story firsthand. Well, they get there, and they take them off of the train, and there's soldiers around, and the soldiers pick who lives and who dies. And I'm like, wow. I mean, could you imagine that? You know, your whole family's taken on a train, and you get somewhere, and they got somebody picking you out. And, you know, and it was, I thought about my kids. You know, so anyway, the lady said they immediately took the son and the husband. They took them. They put them behind a fence. And a lady... One of the soldiers there noticed that the two girls may have been twins. So they asked the mom, are your daughters twins? And she said, yeah. Well, first she said, is it good or is it bad? And the guy said, it's good. So she said, yeah, they're twins. So they took the two girls immediately. So this lady said in a matter of 30 minutes, her whole family was gone. Her mom, her dad, her brother, the only one there was the sister, was gone. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. This is a, you know, so, you know, me and my wife was talking about it. And, you know, you would hate to think this, but, you know, that could possibly happen if we're not protected. So we want to make sure that we're under anointing of God and led by His Spirit so this doesn't happen to us. And that's what I'm thinking about. You know, I don't want this happening to my family. If I live to see the coming of the Messiah, I don't want this to happen. Well, that was going to happen before, but, you know, I don't want to. If I live to see that, I don't want this to happen to my family or any one of my family members or brothers and sisters in Christ. Why should it happen? If we can be protected, because he said there, he'll protect us from all of that stuff, every bit of it. So, get off the topic a little bit, because I had to get off Facebook a few days ago. You know, I just go on there just to look, stay up to date with the family, but I don't even know if I want to get on there anymore, to be honest with you, because it's crazy. You know, you got preachers on there, and they're talking about how we need to be united. But yet, the Bible clearly says, be ye separated from all of this stuff. So how in the world can we be united with non-believers? He said, don't be equally yoked with them. So I'm thinking, why? And I wanted to say something really. I wanted to put something on there really bad. And I'm like, you know something, it ain't even worth it, because I'm not educated enough for them to even hear me out. I already know that. I'm just a guy from the bayou. I know I'm not educated enough because I already tried it. So, anyway, I got that out. I feel better. Thank y'all for letting me vent. But I just look at the scripture, and I mean, it's totally, what they say and totally contradicts scripture. So, and this is folks that, anyway. Well, I didn't have too much tonight. That's all I have. If anybody wants to comment or say anything, the floor is open. You know, if you have a testimony, anything.